Lamentas Postel. Okay, this is going to be dealing with the Churban. We said, Hashanah Hatshis, Lotzikio Melech Yudah, in the ninth year of Tzidkio, the king of Yudah, Bechodesh Asiri, in the tenth month. Okay, that is going to be Teves. So in this, over here, Banu Nebuchadnezzar, Retzar Melech Babel, Cholke, Lo Yishalayim, Yatzur Elah. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and all of his armies came to Yishalayim, and they sieged it. Okay, he brought his entire army, and the reason why he brought his entire army, as we said last week, is because he knew that Yerushalayim was not going to be easy. It was not going to be a nice, you know, easy walk in the park. He knew it was going to be difficult to get Yerushalayim down.
Wait a second. Didn't he get, like, Nebuchadnezzar himself, or, like...
Nebuchadnezzar never got a Nebuchadnezzar, but he always had the feeling that this is what he was supposed to do.
So why is he bringing everybody with him?
He knew this is going to be difficult.
He didn't get a
Nebuchadnezzar.
He
never got a Nebuchadnezzar itself. However, there were Nebuchadnezzar that was set around him. Remember, Daniel, who was his main guy, never got a Nebuchadnezzar himself. He was never a Navi. Daniel was only a dream and translator and whatever it was, but he never became a Navi. He just became a special person.
Were in his dreams?
Some of them were his dreams, but it didn't make it. They weren't a Nebuchadnezzar that everybody had to know about. Remember, he would have been a Nevi'im otherwise. He's on the level of like Eov or something like that. That would be the idea behind it. Ezra HaNavi was. But the reason why Ezra's in the back is because Ezra Sofer is more the history one, as opposed to his Nebuos. We don't know any Nebuos, so to speak, from Ezra. But it goes like this. Pasuk Beis says, V'ashrei Ezra Shana L'Tzidkio M'chodesh Ordi V'tishu L'chodesh Havkoa. Here, in the 11th year of Tzidkio, in the 4th month, right, in the 9th of the month, we spoke about that last week, this city was breached. They were able to get through. We spoke about how it was the 9th and the 17th. Pasuk Emor Yevokol, Zari Melech Babel, all the officers of the king of Babel, Yeshua B'Shar Tavech. They sat by the middle gate. Nergol Sar Etzer, Samgar Nevu Sar Sechim. Rav Soris Nergol Sar Etzer. Rav Mug, Nechosha Eris, Soria Melech Babel. All these people, I'm not even going to bother. Vayi Kasher Rom Tzidkio Melech Yudah, when Tzidkio saw them, right? Tzidkio, the king of Yudah. Chon Shem Mokom and all the men of war. Vayi Brokul, they ran away. Yitzu Lailam in the ear, they went out at night from the city Derek Gan HaMelech by the gardens of the king, B'Shar Ben HaMosayim, by the gate that was right by the two walls. And he went out by the way of the forest. This was the secret way out that Tzidkio already knew about when he was asking Yirmiah what was going to happen to him, what's going to be with me. And Yirmiah said, you will be caught, you will be taken. He had a secret way out that nobody else knew about. And because of that, he was never worried that he was going to be captured. The armies of the Chaldeans went after them. And they reached Tzidkio by the plains of Yericho. And they grabbed Mayaluel, Nebuchadrezzar, Melapavo, and they brought him up to Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babel, Rivlasa, to Rivla, Eretz Kamos, right near the land of Kamos, which means all the way up north. And he spoke very, very harshly with him. Now, what happened, according to the Medrash, is as he escaped and he went through the forest, he went by cover of night, and he ran into a couple garrisons of the Kazdim army that happened to be right there. He literally ran into them, which should have been impossible. They were, by chance, they were hunting a deer, and they were walking by, and they saw Tzidkio, and they grabbed him, and they brought him over to the king of Babel. Vayishkat Melech Babel is B'nei Tzidkiyahu, the Rivla. The king of Babel slaughtered all the sons of Tzidkiyah in Rivla, laying up in front of his eyes. There's Kol Chori Yehuda Shokat Melech Babel. And all the nobles of Yehuda, he shechted them as well, the king of Babel, to show what they did for rebelling against him. Remember, this is all because he had rebelled. Chazal say this Sanhedrin that was killed over here, that the entire Sanhedrin was killed because Tzidkio had signed an oath of allegiance, and when he broke that oath, that's when they were all captured and they were all taken and they paid with their lives.
Tzidkio is literally his sons?
That's what it seems, right? That literally his children were the ones that were killed. Some say they were already being held hostage. Others say they were taken along with Tzidkio right then, slaughtered in front of his eyes because of their father's violation of the oath. That's what ended up happening over here. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that Pope, the King of Babel, did such a thing. It's any Tzidkio either. He blinded the eyes of Tzidkio v'Yasreya v'Nechushayim, and then he bound him up in chains, Levioso Bavela, in order to bring him over to Babel. Right? Mida k'neged Mida, he used the Sanhedrin, which was the eyes of the nation, to annul the nether that he had made for Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, he was blinding himself in the eyes themselves. Chazal say that Tzidkio had very beautiful eyes, and because he had sinned by doing something, it doesn't say what, he was punished with the eyes, but he had very beautiful eyes. It's based on the house of the king, in other words, the palace, as well as the houses of all the people there, they burned in fire. They also burnt down, or they knocked down all the walls of Yerushalayim. Now, it's difficult to say how exactly this worked. You would assume, right, living in Yerushalayim now and knowing what they had, that they had stone houses. I would assume that that's what they made their houses of back then. Now, it might not be true. There may have been more forests back then than what we're led to believe nowadays, and maybe all those forests allowed them to have wooden houses all over.
Forget that.
Burning a stone house is nearly impossible. Yes, what you're saying?
We spent Prokim and whatever talking about how the cedars from Lebanon were brought in for the construction of the Beis Hamikdash. There were forests all around, isn't that?
It was a special
in Lebanon.
That's for sure.
Could have made. There's no question that there was the forest outside of Har Nof, right? That forest always existed. And by the Vassera, there's also a forest. The question is, was it sustainable for them to make houses out of all those forests? The forests are not big. It's not like America. So the question is that
sustainable? Probably bigger than they didn't have cities like we have today.
That's the question. The question is, what was it like back then? Was it more desert, plains, mountainous area, or was it more forested? We don't know. I don't know. I just assumed that the walls would be made of stone. And if the walls were made of stone, then the fact that they burned them down makes no sense. You can't burn down a wall of stone. You can't do that. You can knock it down. You can topple it, but you can't burn it down. Saying that they burned them sounds like they went ahead, the houses were made of wood. Although it does say natatsu, which means they knocked it down. They demolished it. Yes, or honey, short of a year.
Well, you were flying natatsu, but the days on, there were some.
Correct. Right? That's how it could be. It could be that way. Yes. Yes, Rahman, Yisharim, but year, the rest of the people, right, that were remaining in the city, you have to know for them, Asher Nafgo Alav, as well as all the people that had deserted him. Yes, Rahman, Yisharim, and all the other people that were around, Hadwin was Arabin, Rabtabach, and Babel. So the Arabin exiled all of them to Babel, right, along with all everybody. I mean, Am Halad, Adalin, Asher Inlam, Uma, the poor people that Mamish had nothing. Yisharim was Arabin, Rabtabach, and Bar Yehuda. He was Arabin, left them, this slaughterer. He left them in the land of Yehuda, he told them, Kramim, and he gave them vineyards, and he gave them by Yamahu, as well as fields on that day. Now, there's something that we have to remember about this. Now, first of all, they were, all the people over here were considered temporary, or, you know, like sort of like sharecroppers. They were never given, considered, we're giving you the land to keep. Nobody was able to keep any of this land. The land was just there. You have to take care of this, and that's that. But it is a little bit weird. We know Nebu Zaradan as being the butcher of the Jewish people, that he killed thousands of people, and everybody saw he was killing. And we have the Medrash that says even crazier things, that he went to the Beis Hamikdash and killed all the Bahuri Kohanim, and then all the older Kohanim, and then all the women, and whatever, that he was butchering thousands upon thousands of people. And then all of a sudden over here, he's looking at everybody and he's saying, you know what? It's okay, guys. Everybody have some land. Everybody take a little bit for farmland and everything like that. It shows you there's something that happened. He was on it. Just something that just clicked.
Well, or it just could be that he was doing it in his own interest. If everybody leaves the land and becomes desolate and wild animals, if we keep people in the land, we can get.
He was a rather that shouldn't care.
Well, wait, he's the general of Nebuchadnezzar.
Again, if this is Nebuchadnezzar's role, then I agree.
Right, but he delegated this. His responsibility was, you know, you conquer land, you maintain that land.
No. That might not have been it. I mean, we don't see anything about Nebuchadnezzar doing that. Right. We know that Nebuchadnezzar was the butcher. That's why he's called Rab Tabachim. He was not the man who was considered the general, the governor, etc. He was the butcher. That's all he was, meaning from what we see. So
he must have been a higher rank if he's able to do this. He's able to appoint people and a governor and everything, so
Rob's he didn't appoint it. Nebuchadnezzar appointed the governor. We're going to see that.
Fine, but he's the one who's saying he's giving people apportioning land. So he's got it.
Nebuchadnezzar's not even
Lavdaka. The line that they're using for over here, the drush, that they're saying Nebuchadnezzar was up in Hamas, right? He was by Lebanon. So, but Nebuchadnezzar does give the line of who's going to be in charge and what to do with Yirmiyah, as we're about to see. What we say is that Nebuchadnezzar already felt the pangs of tshuva. Chazal tell us that Nebuchadnezzar did tshuva at the end of his life and either became a Ger Tzedek or a Ger Toshav, one of the two. That's what Chazal tell us. They're getting it from these lines over here. What's
the story with the blood in the base of Mithras bubbling?
That was the one with Zechariah, right? With Zechariah's blood was bubbling inside and he saw it. I don't know where that Medrash comes from, meaning where it stems from the words of the Pesukim, but yes, he had a Hirhuri tshuva when he saw that he slaughtered all these people. And then when he said, you know, what did he say? Zechariah, do you want me to kill everybody in Eretz Yisrael? And it stopped. He realized something's up. So we see there's something going on here. So Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, commanded about Yirmiyah in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the butcher, Lamor, saying the following, take a Put your eyes upon him. Look for him. Al-Tasalumwa, do not do anything to him. Ra, anything bad. Whatever he tells you, do whatever he wants. The reason why is because Nebuchadnezzar had heard the nebuahs that Yirmiyah was speaking about. That was famous. That for the last 20 years, Yirmiyah was speaking that Nebuchadnezzar was going to take over, and that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be the king of all of Yerushalayim, that they were going to lose. Yirmiyah was famous for that. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted to thank him for doing so and said, you're not going to be exiled. You do whatever God wants you to do. Knowing that you were somebody who foresaw this originally. So that's it. So he sent out all the chief people to go search for Yirmiyah to find him among everywhere. Now, it means convince him. Not by force. Convince him to do whatever he needs to do and help him with whatever it is. Keep an eye on him, meaning give actual rachamim, but only on him, not to anybody else. If anybody tries to hide him, kill them. Right? If anybody tries to say, oh no, he's over there, whatever, and he lies, kill him. Get rid of everybody else, but just him itself. And then, Yirmiyah had to be watched. They had to make sure that through the general confusion that was going on here and the slaughter that was taking place, nobody was going to take Yirmiyah himself. They sent Vayichu Yirmiyah to Chatzar HaMataros. They took Yirmiyah out of that jail. Remember, he was in the courtyard of the guard, right outside the Beis HaMikdash itself. Might have been the safest place to be in those times. So I don't know. He put him into the hands of Gedaliah ben Achikam and Shaphan, to bring him home. And he sat with the people. So we see that already Gedaliah might have listened to Yirmiyah before. Remember, Yirmiyah told everybody, desert the city, give in to the king of Babel, and everything's going to be okay with you. So he might have actually gone. Gedaliah went up to the king and said, I'm yours. Yirmiyah told me to come to you, so I'll do whatever you want me to do. So they already had put Gedaliah in charge. And he sat among the people. To Yirmiyah, the word of God came while he was jailed in that jail, saying the following: Alok v'amar to Eben Melchakushi, go tell Eved, king of the Kushi, Lamor. Remember, Eben Melchakushi is the one that raised him out of the lion pit. Kol Narshem Tzvokos Lokeisro, and maybe is a Dovraya La'irazos. I have already brought my evil word to this city. L'Rav L'Lotova by Yulavenachem Bayomahu, they will be fulfilled before you on that day. Meaning, on that day, you're telling it over. It's going to happen today. That's the idea of Yitzhak. I will save you on that day. You will not fall into the hands of the people that you fear. Meaning, Evan Melchakushi has nothing to worry about. No matter where you go, you'll be protected. I will let you be saved. You will not fall by the sword. Your soul will be given to you as a gift. Because Hashem says, you trusted me, that's fine. And that's that. If you flee the city and try to get out on your own, then you will die. Right? But nonetheless, you will live, said Yirmiyah to Eben Melchakushi. What's up?
That whole paragraph is weird. I don't know. Just
sort of like piecemeal.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that we mentioned last week with the Yerushalmi says that the whole Nebuah was messed up a little bit. It's Ki'ilu was just like, because he wasn't happy. This was the actual Korban itself. Seeing this would make him cry. And when he saw these things, it made him cry. There was some type of
stress
then. I'm sorry? Yeah, but there was always the chance of tshuva. Now it's wait. What's he have that way? And now comes the famous Parak Mem and Parak Mem Aleph, which deal with Gedaliah ben Achikam and how he took over. This word came to Yirmiyah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after Zaradan, the chief slaughterer, released him from Ramah. The Katoso, he had taken him, but he was already bound in chains with Silko Golos Yerushalayim among all the exiles of those Yerushalayim, Yehudah, Magul, and Bavela that were going on the way to Babel. So it is strange. First of all, Hadavar is always something which is harsh, right? Something that is going to be a remonstrative type of thing. This was meant for Yirmiyah personally for what had happened over here. Now, another thing, the Das Sofrim says that this is one of the most important prophecies that Yirmiyah had ever come up with within this chapter, well, next chapter, as we'll see. Had everybody listened to him, things would have been totally different for everybody in Yerushalayim. Unfortunately, they didn't. This was going to be. Now, the pshat as to why he was in Ramah is because even though Yirmiyah was told, you can do whatever you want, and he's put in the hands of Gedaliah, he told Gedaliah, I'm out, I'm going with the people in Golos. That was not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was him on his own. He wanted to go to Golos together with all the people there to show everybody that he was with them. being empathetic with them, even though we didn't need to. You want to show everyone, I'm willing to be on your, I want to do everything you guys are doing. So he went in chains along with everybody else. It took Nebuzaradan a long time to find him again as they were walking outside searching for him. When he saw him, right, Yirmiyah mingling with everybody else, now he had a message. He got Yirmiyah, he took him. Your God spoke about this evil to this place. He did. He made it as he spoke. He called Tosam Hashem because you have sinned to God. Well, Shemat Makoni did not listen to his voice. Amazing words from Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian. No? It's all because you didn't listen to Hashem. And that's the reason why he had it. Once again, we see a little bit of remorse as well as his repentance, his tshuva for what had happened over here. And that's that. Nebuzaradan also was very confused. I don't understand. These people all sinned. That's why they're getting gullus. But Gedaliah listened to you. These are the people that stayed in Yerushalayim and didn't go out and make peace with Nebuzaradan and Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why they're being exiled right now. But Gedaliah lived, and that's why he's being left. So why wouldn't you stay with Gedaliah, who listened to you, instead of the people who are being chased out of Yerushalayim because they sinned?
Weren't the majority being taken out?
There's no question. But he's saying, you yourself said that you're going to be saved if you go out there. So forget about these people. These people are all evil. That's what Nebuzaradan couldn't believe. But Yirmiyahu knew, my plight is with the rest of the people. I don't have my own.
Wasn't
that
Nebuah, though, directed towards Sidkiyahu?
So which one? What do you mean? Sidkiyahu, no, he said to the people, remember, that's why they captured him. He told everybody, get out, get out. Oh, now, and everybody was saying, no, we have to fight, we have to fight. No, it was everybody else that he was telling it to, and that's why they were so upset. He said it to Sidkiyahu as well. Said, remember, that was the next parak where he said to Sidkiyahu, you have to do this.
That's private conversation.
That's right. That was the second prophecy that had been. The prophecy before he was thrown in the lime pit. He was thrown in the lime pit because he was telling all the people to make peace. Listen, I'm releasing you, Hayom, Mina Azikim, from all these chains. I'll show you that are on your hands. If it's good in your eyes to come with me to Babel, then come. But you're not coming as a prisoner. You're coming as my second guy, you know, like a person who's going to help me. Also, if I'll pay attention to you, being Rabbi Nechalavoiti, Babel, but if it's bad in your eyes to come to the city of Babel, then Chadol, then stop. Listen, the whole land is in front of you. Wherever you want to go, whatever's the best thing for you, that's that. I'm not going to tell you anything, but you have no blame for the revolt. You have no blame at all in our eyes. You get to live. So definitely Ashuv, he had not yet turned back, this is referring to Yirmiyah, Veshuva El Gedaliah Ben Achikam. And he heard a message, go back to Gedaliah Ben Achikam. There was a message that seems to say from Hashem, although it could have been Nebuzaradan saying it, and he understood it as being a message of Hashem through Nebuzaradan. Ben Achikam and Ashapan Asher Hivkim and Lepapo Bar Yehuda, who was appointed by the king above on the cities of Yehuda, Veshevito, sit with him, Besokam amongst the people, Alakol Asher Yashem Ben Achalachas Lech. Or wherever else you want to go, go. That for sure was Nebuzaradan's words. He's a little wrapped up on a Ruchol Masis Veshachayu. He gave him a little bit of food, and he gave him a gift, and he sent him off. This is Nebuzaradan, and that's that. Okay, and that's that. Yirmiyahu was not in a hurry. So it sounds like before he even went back, it sounds like he didn't have to worry whatsoever. But either way, he understood from the repeated entreaties that he was being given, right, that he has to go back to Gedaliah and he's up to help him. Now, we are going to notice that even though he does go back to Gedaliah, and it says, and he dwelt there amongst the people that were remaining in the land, he is somehow totally conspicuous during the next story. We have no idea where Yirmiyahu goes. We don't know. It sounds like he's living in Mitzvah. It sounds like he's in the midst of the people there. Right, and Gedaliah is still alive, so we're not worried about him being dead yet. But where did he go during the next story where Gedaliah is killed? That is a hell of a untellable.
Why is it irrelevant? If Yirmiyahu is the author here, he's right, he's the narrator of a story that has nothing to do with him.
He's in Mitzvah. Okay. Yosef and Kirach came to Mitzvah and seemingly killed all the dwellers of Mitzvah. We'll see it.
He wasn't killed, but he was
giving everything away now. But yeah, obviously he wasn't killed. What I'm saying is that Yirmiyahu should, maybe he wasn't supposed to warn Gedaliah. Maybe he wasn't. Well, so maybe that's
maybe
not supposed to be.
Hashem didn't know him. Maybe he didn't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. So maybe he wasn't supposed to warn Gedaliah Ben Achikam. It's just weird that all of a sudden he becomes conspicuous, where he's just another person in the city, and we don't mention anything about him, and that Yirmiyahu was at the party, Yirmiyahu was this, that. We just don't mention.
Well, things were going on. We see in Malachim, there were stories that happened around this time that we don't
understand. But Yirmiyahu is right there in the city while the execution happened. That's what's weird. He's right there. So let's see. The Yishmael Kol Tzarecha. Yeah.
What's with Gedaliah ben Achikam and Gedaliah ben Achikam and Shafan?
Normally, the only reason why we add on names is when we're talking about a tzaddik. So we say, it's a tzaddik ben tzaddik ben tzaddik. And that's really what it is over here. Gedaliah ben Achikam and Shafan. Why we sometimes call him just Gedaliah ben Achikam is, I don't know. We don't know. I don't know what the pshat is. But nonetheless, it's there. I do have a little bit of a caution because the word Shafan is usually not used in a good way because it's an animal that's tummy, right? Obviously, an animal that you're not allowed to eat because it didn't have cloven hooves, but it did chew its cud. So usually we call that like a gamal. Gamal is not known as a taller creature. It's just known as an animal that was, you know, half kosher, which is not usually a good thing. But new. That all the officers of the armies that were in the field, they and their men, that the king of Babel had placed in the land, that he had given him men and women, but and kids as well. There was the poorest men and women of the land that had not been exiled to Babel itself. Now these were units who had escaped the army, the war in Yerushalayim. These units were fighting guerrilla warfare up in the mountains and in the forest everywhere. They weren't coming out because they were afraid, you know, a whole Chaldean army that was going to come against them was going to kill them. But they were sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Doesn't it make sense, though, that's the reason that these... It seems weird that Nebuzaradan gave the poor people all this land and took everybody else to Babel. Could it be that these people were poor because they surrendered to, either because they had money, but when they surrendered to Babel, they gave everything up, so now they were poor, and all the people living in Jerusalem were exiled,
that makes
they were
sense.
Returned.
Yeah.
Or they were, that's why they surrendered, because they were poor.
It's the people without that, it makes sense that they would surrender first. Because they were so poor, right? They needed money and they needed food, and they were the last on the list of the people that were going to get any food. So that does make a lot of sense why they would have been that way. Anyway, it says in Pasuk Ches, so they came to Gedaliah to Mitzpah. This is Yishmael ben Netanya, as we'll see, that's the evil one. Yochanan and Yonasan, the sons of Koreach. Notice it's not Korach, it's Koreach. Okay? Now, maybe their father wanted to name the name Koreach, because Koreach is a good name, Yoshua ben Korach. Right, we do see some people that are known as Korach that are good. It doesn't mean Baal, but nonetheless, it's not Korach. Maybe that makes a difference. Maybe you can't be called Yishmael. Well, there are people that are called Yishmael, obviously, Rebbe Yishmael, but maybe you can't be called Esav, but you can be called Aso. Maybe that's okay. Either way, Uswaya ben Tanchumes, who we don't see anymore, Mene Eifai Netofasi, Nizan Yahu ben Amachasi, Hemelachem, they and all of their men, they were able to come over here. Now, these people were members of an upper class. They were not poor people. They were in the army, right? And some of them were extremely cautious. In fact, Yishmael ben Netanya was the next in line to become king. When you took away the line of Tzidkiah, and obviously Yoyakim and all of his family was gone, Yishmael ben Netanya was one of the people who was next in line to become king. And that's why he got so upset seeing that Gedaliah had taken the leadership for himself. He felt that that was something that went against Malchus Beis David, as if he's Morid ben Malchus, and Paskin.
Gedaliah's cousin, and as a member of the house of David, is also entitled to the government. He was appointed by
not the next line, though. There are lines which one goes to
the prophecy of Jeremiah say it was going to end anyways?
Which was going to end the Malchus Beis David. Again, Yishmael ben Netanya is not a good guy. Okay, Yishmael ben Netanya may have had good ideas and maybe a reason as why he's going to kill him. He was not right. He's a murderer, and we have a fast day because of what he did. There's no question he was not. No one is going to say, like, and Yishmael ben Netanya was a tzaddik gomer. I don't think anybody's going to say that. Okay, but his reasoning for killing him is saying, well, I'm the next in line to become king, as we're going to see. Yishavalan gidal yo ben achikam ben shafan.
Well, right now, Nebuchadnezzar is a king. He's just a governor.
Yeah.
If Nebuchadnezzar, good point, somebody maybe not from Malchus Beis David,
and part of his line is, we can still fight. We're ready to fight.
They still fight. They just came, took everybody to Babel, and there's a few poor people left, and now we get...
But they have their garrisons. They still have a couple armies. We can do this. Let's get Ammon on our side, as we'll see he's about to do. So, Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan swore to them, hold on, shame and older men, lame or out here, don't be afraid, may Abura cast him from serving the Chaldeans. Shmub Arad, sit in the land, eat to his melon, Babel, eat up the serve the king of Babel, everything will be good. The reason why they were worried, and the reason why he had to swear to them, is because they said, listen, all you're going to do now is you're going to tell the Chaldeans, they were waiting for all the armies to come out of their their hiding place, and as soon as they find us, they're going to kill all of us. So they said, like, we're not going to do anything to you. So Gedaliah swore to them, I swear to you, they're done. It's over. It could be that Gedaliah told them that there's a Nebuah that says, that there was a Nebuah that says, they're not coming back. There will be not a single time from now on that they'll be have any rulership over Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar was given one time to come to Yerushalayim. Even if we rebel, so to speak, says Gedaliah, nothing's going to happen. So that's the last thing you have to worry about. He told them, accept what happened already, accept that it's over, and let's start over. Okay, and that's that. They were disbelieving him, but in the end, when he swore to them, they accepted his oath. Pasuk Yud Vani, Hinani Yoshev in Mitzvah. I'm sitting in Mitzvah. I'm not going to Yerushalayim, said Gedaliah. I'm staying here in Mitzvah. Lama Livnei Akastim, to stand with the Chaldeans, Shereb Oy Lener, that come to us. Me'atem, Yisvu Yayin, V'kayitz V'shemen. Go gather wine, get some dates, right, and some oil, v'simu v'chleich, and put it in your kelim, v'savu shvu be'areichem, and sit in your city, the shrek of Asim that you have captured for yourselves. I'm not forcing you to stay in Mitzvah, said Gedaliah. I don't need you to stay in Mitzvah. Spread out. Let's live throughout the entire land. Everybody here, you all of your garrisons, everybody take a little land, right, you all go everywhere. So Gedaliah is being this magnanimous king, just, you know, king, governor, really, saying, everybody take a little place, you don't have to worry about Nebuchadnezzar, just resettle the cities, and that's that. Right, and that's the idea behind it. The Gam Kol Yudim Asher v'Moav u'Bnei Amon, and all the Jews who had fled to Moab and Amon of Edom, right in the south to Edom, Asher v'Kol Aratzos and all the other lands. Shamu Kinas Amal Babel Sheiriz Yehuda. They heard that the king of Babel left a little remnant to Yehuda. The Kiv Kedalem is Gedaliah Ben Achim Shaphan, and Gedaliah Ben Achim Shaphan was made king. Right, the rumors spread. Yeah, Asher v'Kol Yudim Kol Nakomus, and they returned from all the places and Yehusham that they had been lost there. But Borat Yehuda Gedol Yoam Mitzvah, so they came over to Mitzvah. They had to Yai Makayit Harvim Od, and they gathered wine, they gathered figs, you know, as much as they could. Now, it could be they stayed by because they still were worried. They were looking at it and they were saying, listen, Mitzvah's safer. You have the Chaldeans here. He'll see. But if we go to the other places, who knows what's going to happen. So let's stay in this area around where they were. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yochanan and Karach, Mechol Tzor Yechai, Lama Shev, Asad, Abol, Gedal, Yom, Mitzvah. Now, Yochanan and Karach and all the officers that were in the field, they came to Gedal, Yo, to Mitzvah. And they said the following. Yom, 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 Did you realize that Balas, the king of Ammon, right, he has sent a message to Yishmael ben Nethaniah to kill you? He has sent him to kill you. He is automatically there. We heard through our spies that is Avraham Lohem and Lohem, Gedal Yivin Achikam. But Gedal Yivin Achikam said, I'm not going to believe you. This is not a time to speak Lashon Hara. And that's how Gedal Yivin Achikam treated it. And Chazal say that although you can't be Makaba Lashon Hara, you have to be Choshesh for that Lashon Hara. And he wasn't even Choshesh. He said, I'm not going to worry about that at all. I'm not being Makaba any of a Lashon Hara. There's nobody that would do that now. We're not going to start a civil war after everything's all said and done. Everything will be fine. Now, Yochanan Karach sent to Gedal Yo in private. He said, listen, we'll get everybody else out. My mitzvah, Lemo. He said a mitzvah. Let me go and kill Yishmael ben Nethaniah privately. Yisrael Yeda, nobody will know. Why should he kill you first? Then all the people of Yuda are going to scatter all around, and the remnant of Yuda is going to go through. Okay, now he didn't want a civil war, but he definitely knew that something was going to happen. Yishmael ben Nethaniah was going to stay around. So Yochanan ben Karach said, I will take care of this. Let me take care of it. Yeah, you're right. That's funny. I have Yonason over here. That's so funny. In the English over here, it says Yonason, but that's wrong. Here we go. Yom Ben Achikam El Yochanan Ben Koreach. Al Kas says Dover Azed. Don't do it. Ki Shekrat to Dover Yishmael. You're speaking lies about Yishmael. It's never going to happen. Again, if this is a movie and you were my mom, I'd be sitting there saying, Mom, don't say it. My mom's going to be like, don't do it. Don't do it. You know this is going to happen. You know exactly what's going to happen when something like this happens. Park Mam Nemal, Pasagalo. We're talking about the aftermath of when Gedaliah is killed. It was in the seventh month. Chazal tells us this is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which we all know of as the happy holiday of Rosh Hashanah. On the day of Rosh Hashanah back in the day, even though it was right after. Now, I'll just tell you, I don't know if it was right after the Korban. where you had Tisha B'Av, and then 2 months later was Rosh Hashanah. I find that kind of difficult, that all those things happened where all the people gathered or whatever it was within 2 months when it happened. I kind of think that it took a while to get all the Jews out, you know, from Tisha B'Av. It just took a while to get the people, start moving them out, get Yirmiyah back, all these, and all the factions hearing about it, and for all the Babylonians to leave. I would personally say that it was a year or two later that Gedaliah was in charge for more than just 2 months. There is a minor Chazal that seems to indicate that it was 2 months later. I have no proof for what I'm saying. It just makes more sense to me that they spent another year or two, 3 years doing this, and then it was one Rosh Hashanah. Oh, and aside from that, if you're going to make Kirak knew that this coup was going to happen, and that Balas had already hired Yishmael ben Netanya to go assassinate Gedaliah ben Achikam, what in the world are you leaving them alone together for? Why would that be? If it's 2 months later, you know he's going to kill him. Fine, you're not allowed to kill Yishmael ben Netanya, but you're not around the king at all times when Yishmael ben Netanya is there. What's wrong with you? Why would you have run away?
He went home with his family. He didn't realize he was coming.
I don't think he had a family anymore. I don't think any of these people had families.
Well, you said Nashim V'Tach. There was
no, there were women and children.
They were also
of the poor families. They themselves were part of the armies that were outside. So it could be. I don't know if they had any.
But it also makes sense that it's not 2 months, 2.5 months later, because Baal Yishmael means he came, everybody here says he came from Amon. So if it was right after, everybody was in Yerushalayim.
That he had gone to Amon.
Right.
He came from Amon. But I hear
what you're
saying.
No, Baal Yishmael means he came back from Amon.
No, you're Baal Yishmael. What do you mean? Where is it?
Baal Yishmael, Me'eretz Bnei Amon. He came.
Wait, where are you? Where
Pasuk says, "Va'yivu chodesh shvi Baal Yishmael ben Netanya."
No, he came. Look, Mizera Meluka, that's where we darshan it, by the way. He was from the children of the king, meaning he was next in line to become king. The Rabbi Amelech, as well as the royal, you know, royal officers, Basar and Ashen Yitzhak, and 10 men with him, El Gedalio ben Achikam, a mitzvah, they came to mitzvah to Gedalio ben Achikam. They were outside doing whatever it was with food and drink or whatever it is, but they came to the palace specifically for Rosh Hashanah. Vayochu Sham Lechem Yaakov a mitzvah. They eat together bread in mitzvah. You should know, there are a lot of kashas. In Ezra and Nehemiah, it seems to indicate that they used to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Kasha had a read in Pasuk. But unless it seems to be that they were crying and that they used to fast every Rosh Hashanah. It's clear here that they ate bread in Rosh Hashanah.
Maybe they were fasting because of this.
So I saw a Das Sofer that said that the original Tzom Gedalia took place on Rosh Hashanah. Meaning on Rosh Hashanah, it's not meaning I'm always over here, but meaning the original Tzom Gedalia, where they fast for Gedalia, was Mamish on Rosh Hashanah. And that's why, come on, I go to Rosh Hashanah and now Gedalia. He comes a couple of times, Mamotze Rosh Hashanah. No, but here he says they were Koveyed on Motze Rosh Hashanah because it was a Yom Tov. But in Nehemiah, it indicates that it Mamish was on Rosh Hashanah, and then Nehemiah told them, stop it. You can't treat Rosh Hashanah that way. Rosh Hashanah is not a sad day. Rosh Hashanah is a happy day. Rosh Hashanah is not a day for crying. Rosh Hashanah is a day for confidence in your din. And that's the din. We know that it was switched over eventually to Gimel Tishrei. It would have been Beis Tishrei if you only have one day of Rosh Hashanah, right? But we know that it was switched over to that day. But it is a bit of a pella. It could very well be it was like that. Either way, he says he went with 10 men with him and he dined there together with him. Now, why was Amon so involved over here? Why did Amon care? What was Balas trying to do? Balas wanted to wage war against the king of Babylon. As long as Gedaliah ben Achikam was in charge with the Chaldeans that were there, the garrison that was there in Mitzpah, no one was going to rebel against the king of Babylonia. The plan was for Balas, the king of Ammon, to get rid of Gedaliah ben Achikam, you know, the governor of the king, and then take the rest of the Jews and say, let's fight Nebuchadnezzar together. Ammon, Moab, and the Jews. Let's go up against the king of Nebuchadnezzar together. That was his plan. Yishmael ben Netanya was going to be the next in line to become the king. He was going to fight the same way Tzidkiyahu fought. That was the eventual plan. Yaakov Yishmael ben Netanya v'aseres ha'nashashur ha'yuto. Yaakov was Gedaliah ben Achikam and Shaphan b'cheret. They knocked down Gedaliah ben Achikam and Shaphan with a sword by Yomes Oso, and they killed him. Sure, he's given up Bubble Bahar. It's because the one that the king of Bubble had appointed in the land itself. Stop. We learned from over here that nobody was chayav for his misa. All 10 of them killed him at once. Bava Kamma at the end of the first dark asks, what happens if 9 people, 10 people kill, and one at a time says the last guy is chayav? What happens if all 10 hit him at the same time? Then none of them are chayav. And that law is learned out from over here. It's not directed in the Gemara, but they learned out from over here that they killed them all at the same time, that nobody would be chayav. It's called Yudim Ashrayu, we told us Gedalyahu b'mitzvah. All the Jews that were with him, with Gedalyah mitzvah, that's a concept of Shedding Zusham, it's Hashem, Mohammed, Hiki, Yishmol, and all the Chaldeans that were found there, the men of war, Yishmol was able to destroy them completely. Now, to say that all the Jews died cannot be true. We clearly know that that's got to be all. There's no way that every single person died. Seems to us to be a little bit difficult to be able to
understand.
That's what it sounds like, the people that were right there around him, probably at this meal or whatever it was. And most likely as well, right, this did not take a couple minutes to defeat an entire Kasdim garrison, as well as all the other men that were on Gedalia's side. It certainly they would put up a struggle. Now, it could be they were all drunk as loons, right? And therefore, because they were all drunk as loons, they all were dead. But if Yochanan ben Kareach knew about this coup, how could no one have been warned about this?
Maybe he was killed or something.
No, Yochanan ben Kareach kills Yishmael ben Netanya. So it is extremely strange that no one was involved. Now, again, it's 2 or 3 years later. It makes a little bit more sense. They lost their, they were no longer on guard. Right? I get that. That could definitely be. But nonetheless, for the Kasdim guards to let down the guard, there's only 10 men with Yishmael ben Netanya. That's it? He had 10 men with
Chaldean guards.
We don't know. But let's say there were five. These guys were trained warriors. Trained warriors who were staying there to keep the peace. I would assume again, you're an army, you leave a garrison. You always leave a nice size. The American army is not going to Iraq.
Yeah,
and then leave like the Nebuchs
stationed outside.
No, you're right. But you're not going to have Nebuchs taking care of them. If you want to keep Gedalia around and he's your man, you better put nice people on him. You got to put, not the best, but pretty good people on him. Nonetheless, they were destroyed. Again, it could be that this took a little bit longer than we see. Whatever. But you're being a shame. Love is Gedalia. After the second day when they had killed Gedalia, no man knew about it yet. No man knew about it. He didn't show up for meeting the next morning in Rosh Hashanah morning. And that was that. They just said, like, oh, he probably slept through. And the men came from Shechem, Shiloh, the Shomron, Shmonim Ish, Megulcha, Yizdaka, Nefuleh, Begadim. 80 men who were, they cut off their beards, torn of clothing, misguided them, they had cut themselves. They brought gifts and frankincense to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash wasn't around. On the way there, they heard the Beis HaMikdash. What?
This would indicate that they were talking to them.
That's the problem. However, on the way there, they heard the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Again, this is Shechem and Shiloh. Shechem and Shiloh are not that far from Yerushalayim. They're not that far. How did they not know? So, because I'll say, they were hiding in caves the whole time. They had no idea what was going on, and they weren't coming out. They had storages inside that area to make sure that they were going to be okay, and they wanted, after a couple years, they thought, alright, things must have calmed down, we haven't heard things in a long time, let's go out and check it out. When they heard that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and they had been hiding in caves for a long, long time, that's when they tore themselves. And you should know, that is a lav midiyoraisa. This is what we call lo yikruchu korcha, right, and lo yisru sorata. The cast is whether it applies or not. There are signs of mourning that you're chayav to do, and we do learn from over here that you're chayav to tear kriya when seeing the destruction of Yerushalayim or the Beis HaMikdash or all these areas. Nonetheless, this was not the best thing for them to be able to do. That's that. If not just these things, there's a couple other things, by the way. I just want to point this out. The Emily points it out over here, but it's an important thing to know. The obligation to perform kriya lasts during the first 24 hours after seeing the Beis HaMikdash site. Therefore, if you come into Yerushalayim on Friday afternoon or an afternoon before Yom Kippur, you should not tear your clothing, because the obligation only lasts until the following day, which is Shabbos or Yom Kippur, and you're forbidden to tear your clothing there. However, if you see the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, for the first time on Shabbos, the obligation continues until Sunday. You are not potter from tearing kriya. your kriya that motzi Shabbos or something. Okay, so if that happens, as a halacha, then not everybody knows. It's a very interesting halacha. Again, if you don't see it for 30 days, you have to do it. If you come on kol moed, you don't have to tear kriya. That's that. There's a couple things over here. By yitzi Yishmael ben Esai would cross him. So in pasuk vav it says Yishmael ben Esai went out to greet him in a mitzvah. Holy halacha boka. He was crying as he went. Why was he crying? Some say the Daf Sofer says that he had gone mad. He had gone crazy. But it makes more likely that he was feigning mourning over Gedaliah ben Achikam to test these people and share in their grief to see what they were really trying to do. He's faking it the whole time. So mina mitzvah holy holy vochah. Vayikiv goshosam when he met them. Vayomar aleihem. Bo'o Gedaliah ben Achikam. Come to Gedaliah ben Achikam. Right? He told them, you coming to Gedaliah ben Achikam? Come with me. Vayikiv ol notocha here. When they came into the middle of the city, vayichatem Yishmael ben Esani al tocha bor. Yishmael ben Esani started slaughtering them into the middle of a pit. Huvan nashim asherito. Him and the people that were with him. Now this was a totally unnecessary slaughter. Totally unnecessary slaughter. There was no need to get these people. But once they had already had their bloodlust, now they couldn't stop themselves. Asar Nashim Yitzubam, there were 10 men among those, you know, pilgrims that came up. Yishmael, they said to Yishmael, so we say, don't kill us. We have treasures in the fields, with wheat and barley and wine and oil and honey. They stopped. They did not kill them along with everybody else. And that shows us a little bit that it makes sense that they were in caves for a long time. We have storages, they said. We have storages in there. That's the idea behind the Babor. And the boar that Yishmael had thrown, all the corpses of the men that were killed because of Gedaliah. Crazy, isn't it? Because of Gedaliah. That was the pit made by Asa because of Basa, the king of Israel. Yishmael ben Netanya filled that up with corpses. Now, what had happened? Basa, remember, was trying to prevent people from making Aliyah Leregel. Basa was the king of Israel.
Basa or Basha?
Is it Basha? I might have messed up.
Yes,
Basha, I'm sorry. Basha ended up doing that. He did it to prevent everybody from going and making Aliyah Leregel. Asa, right, who is from Yehuda, wanted to kill Basha for doing such a thing, and it started making pits, graveyards, for them to put Basha's men so that people could do Aliyah Leregel. Although it didn't end up working, and they never ended up fighting that, we see that when a pit is made for a civil war, when you're trying to kill other Jews, it will never end well. Not going to end well whatsoever. And then the line of, because of Gedaliah, because Al Darshan from here in Rosh Hashanah, that the pshat is because he disregarded. And number one, let's say it this way, because he disregarded the Lashon Hara that was told, and he wasn't even koshish for it, it's as if he killed everyone that was involved here. It was his fault for not realizing that Yishmael ben Netanya at least had something, and at least to be koshish for it. That's all we're asking you to do, just be koshish. Because he wasn't koshish, he's the one that allowed everybody to be killed, so he's to blame. Learn from here, the Sam Sofer says, Shal Shulz Sam Sofer learns from this passage. If I send Morty to Jewel for me to go get me, you know, a loaf of bread, and on the way to Jewel, he gets into a car accident and dies, I am responsible for his death in Shemayim. Even though, what did I do? All I did was send him to Jewel. I didn't do anything. But because I sent him to Jewel, he was on his way to death. I am chayav misa mina Shemayim for what had happened. He brings two other items. The case that had happened was a woman, a bigger woman, left her baby in her bed and rolled over on top of the baby and suffocated the baby, and the baby died. So she wrote a letter to the Chassam Sofer asking for, does she have to do tshuva? Does she have to do penance for what she had done? The Chassam Sofer said, yes, you must do tshuva, because you were killed even though it happened like that. I agree. But then he gives the case of this. It's unbelievable. There's a Semach, Shal Shuth, Semach Tzedek as well.
But here, it was, I guess, he's in action sending somebody to do something that's completely...
I hear what you're saying. There's another raya that's given. when Novi Irakwanim was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blamed Dovinamelech. And that's why he was fought with Yishbi Benov. Remember him in Sanhedrin, Fadi Haman Alvi? He fought with Yishbi Benov. It was one of the giants, the brothers of Goliath. Why was that? Because Yishbi Al Yiskei Nov. Because why? Because you allowed the people of Nov to be killed because of you. Dovin. What did Dovin do? No. So right there, Fadi Haman Alvi. Dovinamelech. What did Dovinamelech do? Because Dovin visited there, and then Doeg said Lashon Hara, and Shaul accepted it and killed the 85 Kohanim there. Dovin is blamed. So they use those two, this and that, to be able to prove it. It's unbelievable stuff. So
all of Yoash's family was killed except for Yoash because of no.
Well, because one Kohen survived. Right. I remember that. Yeah, that's a medrash. That is a medrash. Achimelech. Yeah, the son of Achimelech. Whatever his name was, the son of Achimelech. Yeah, whatever it was. But he's the one that ended up going. But that's that. Another reason why. Says the Das Sofrim, the reason why is because he, I think it's Rashi. He disregarded the honor of the royal family. He should have worked out an agreement with Yishmael ben Netanya and averted the bloodshed. Because he didn't do that, therefore he's playing. By Yishmael, his kosher is Amash of Mitzvah. He captured all the other people that were living in his body. Binosa Melech, which is interesting, the daughters of the king, that means Sibkiyahu, apparently had other daughters that survived the war. That's the daughters of the king. It's Golem and Yishon B'mitzvah, all the other people that remained in Mitzvah. Sure, Hifkin was around the Ratzav Alchem, Kedal Yoven Achikam, that Zuzaradon had appointed in the hands of Kedal Yoven Achikam, Yishmein Yishmol, but it's not even Yilok Lavod, Lavor is Albanay Amon. And he went to go serve, he went over to go to the land of Amon, Yishmol B'Netanya, obviously. So, Yishmol B'Netanya then ran away to go to the king of Amon to go hide by him until everything had settled down. Yochanan ben Kareah and all the officers of the army heard. Actually, so it's called the Rosh or also Yishmael ben Netanya. All the evil Yishmael ben Netanya did. They was called on Hashem. They took all their men. They went to wage war with Yishmael ben Netanya. He also on Maim Rabin. Actually, Gibbon. They found him by the great waters by Gibbon, right around that area. Now, his plan was to wage an all-out war. Yishmael ben Netanya, right, with Yochanan ben Kareah, and that was that. He knew that there were hostages. There was hostages that were there, but he wanted to fight as soon as he could to make sure that Yishmael ben Netanya never got back. Yishmael ben Netanya was not going to be there. But Yikaros Kol Amashar as Yishmael as Yochanan ben Kareah. When all the people that were with Yishmael saw Yochanan ben Kareah, that's Kol Sarei Chayil Amashar Yitov, Yismachu, they started getting happy. They were confident that things were going to go well for them. They had Sobu Kol Amashar Shavu Yishmael ben Mitzvah. All the people that Yishmael had turned back, right, from Mitzvah, Yeshuva Yochol Yochanan ben Kareah, they turned back to Yochanan ben Kareah. I guess he couldn't put them all on chains. Again, it was only Yishmael ben Netanya and 10 men. So all the people started walking. Walking to Yochanan ben Kareah and say, "We're with you, big guy. We're with you." Well, Yishmael ben Netanya was left with that. Yishmael ben Netanya nimlap is shmona nashim. He escaped with only 8 men. 2 of the men must have deserted as well. Midnei Yochanan, Bayelach ben Amon. He ran to the land of Amon. Bayikah Yochanan ben Kareah, but Kosar Yechalam Meshari Tos Kosher Tzom. So when Grant took all those people after he killed Gedalia, Givar Mashem Mohammed, the men of war, Minash Makap, the woman and the children, the Saris Mashem Givon, and all the officers, right, that he had returned from Givon, the Yoko Yeshua Gerus Kimhom, they went and dwelled by Gerus Kimhom, which is near Beis Lakham. They prepared to go down to Egypt. Right, they did this because of the Kassim. Because Yishmael ben Netanya had killed Gedalia ben Achikam, that the king of Babel had appointed in charge of the land of Babel.
Everybody seems to be joining Yochanan ben Kareah's side, who was on Gedalia's side, so perhaps why were they so afraid of Nebuchadnezzar?
They didn't know what was going to be. I can't even trust you guys. And plus, remember, Nebuchadnezzar just lost Chaldean soldiers. They might not blame that on the Jews, but nonetheless, they're maybe punishments to come. You know what? I can't trust you guys at all in Eretz Yisrael. Let's get rid of all of you right now and take them in chains to Babel. They had no idea what we're supposed to mention right over here. So I'm going to mention another thing over here. Although we don't say it over here, Yochanan ben Kareah, we're going to say it. Okay, here. So it doesn't say it over here. I don't remember where it says it. Yochanan ben Kareah did chase after Yishmael ben Netanya and kill him. But I don't remember where. It might be in Paris Membez, and I'm just forgetting right now. But Yochanan ben Kareah eventually kills Yishmael ben Netanya. Yishmael ben Netanya did not live. He was not put in charge, and nothing was left. Okay, so he was gone. But now, yeah, by usual quotes, article is Perik Membeis. So all the officers of the war came. The Yochanan ben Karachias, Leah ben Yoshai, the whole army comes from Agadah from small until big. By Yomro Yirmiyo Hanavi, and now they said to Yirmiyo Hanavi, all of a sudden Yirmiyo appears. It says, "People, not chinas senu benecha. Let our supplication come down in front of you. Yisalam adinu l'Hashem l'kecha. Daven for us to Hashem your God. Da'ad kol she'iris azos for all of the remnants of the people. Kishanam ha'ame harbe. There's only a little bit of us left. Kasher enecha rose the sun, as you see it over here. Now they call him Hanavi. They came to Yirmiyo Hanavi. They beg. It's time because the recent developments. Daven for us. Maybe something good can happen. What can we do over here? Okay." I don't get it. I really don't. I have no idea where Yirmiyah was. Was Yirmiyah mitzvah in taking capture?
No,
captured by Yishmael ben Netanya?
In Asa.
He was land in, whatever it's called, in
Anassos.
In Anassos. Yeah, was he over there? But it said that he went to Gedalia in mitzvah. Now, if it's 2 months later, I would assume he was still in mitzvah. Well, if it's a few years later, okay.
While he was in service, and he went to mitzvah to go to his inauguration or whatever it is, and then he went home.
He was no inauguration figure, what you're saying.
Or he was in mitzvah.
Yeah, we have no right.
How could he?
I have no right.
What happened?
I just find it very strange. I find it strange that you have a Navi who's always involved in this stuff, and he doesn't do anything to prevent it.
And
now, granted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe didn't want to prevent it, but that's strange in and of itself. Why wouldn't you want to prevent Gedalia? Yes, he didn't listen to Yochanan ben Korea. He wouldn't listen to Yirmiyah? I understand. Why wouldn't he?
He's not listening anyways. Fine. Whatever.
But he was.
Maybe Yirmiyah didn't know
about it. He was faulted.
Maybe Yirmiyah didn't know about it.
But that in of itself is strange. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want Yirmiyah to know about this? If this was the last chance of the Jews, and you're putting everything in the hands of Yochanan ben Korea, who says Gedalia didn't listen to him?
Yet.
Prophecy was fulfilled. Everything Yirmiyah had said happened.
Right.
He had never said that they were going to be completely gone out of line. He said,
okay.
If you give
that
in,
mean
you'll remain in line.
Which is true. He wasn't around for every single issue. He wasn't there for every single issue that was going on. This was one thing that just didn't...
This is a big enough thing that we fast for it. It is the last part of our Korban Beis HaMikdash. You'd think that this is something that could have been prevented. All you have to do is go to Gedalia ben Akdikam and tell him.
The challenge for Gedalia to figure out, and now the next challenge for the Jews is to listen to Yirmiyah, not to go to Gedalia.
Definitely true, and that is the next challenge. There's no question about that. I just find it strange. I'm not saying it's impossible, obviously. Obviously what happened was that Gedalia was not given the Nebuah, and he didn't warn Gedalia, so obviously it's not there.
It makes sense that
they could have had a chance with Gedalia in Yerushalayim.
No, it makes sense.
Gedalia could have been
chosen. Yirmiyah wasn't around. Because his orders from the Uzzaradim was go back to Gedalia.
To whatever place you want.
No, but go back to Gedalia. Gedalia tells everybody, hey, listen, we got the land.
Spread out.
Get out of here. So Yirmiyah was like, okay, I'm going on to stuff.
Again, I hear you, but nonetheless, you'd think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have prevented this so easily. And again, why cause another person to die? We see nothing that Gedalia ben Akdikam did wrong, except maybe not give the proper respect to the next in line to become king. Maybe that's the only thing he did wrong.
He didn't have a choice.
That's so easy, and I know we don't ask those questions. I'm just saying, this would have been my question. The first thing I would ask is, where was Yirmiyah? He had a whole story where it seemed he was a mitzvah, maybe he wasn't, but it seemed he was a mitzvah, and he disappears at the most opportune time to keep the Jews in Yerushalayim. By the way, this is what happened. He said, "Be'yagin lanu Hashem elokecha. May God, your God, inform us." As the Devar Sharnelefa, the way that we should go, as the Devar Sharnasa, the thing that we should do. Some say that they were asking, should we go to Egypt or should we stay? Others were saying, which road should we take to Egypt? They were going. Which road should we take? Yirmiyah Yirmiyah Anavi. Yirmiyah Anavi said to them, "Shemati, I hear you. Kidi mispalu Hashem elokecha. Let me daven to Hashem your God. Kidi brechem. According to your words." By the way, notice that they said Hashem elokecha. He said back to them, Hashem elokecha. Whatever Hashem answers you, I'll tell you. I'm not going to hold anything back. May God be with us as a true witness and trustworthy. We will do everything you tell us to do. Whether it's good or bad, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have sent you to do, to him, to whatever Nishma will listen. That's good for us because we listen to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, our God. They indicate Tzaras Yamin. At the end of 10 days, we do Hashem Yirmiyahu. The word of Hashem came to Yirmiyahu. Now that was said 10 days ago. But now the people are already restless. Dude, it's been 9 days. Where's God? And we said, I don't know. I can't make God come to me. I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm waiting for our Kodesh Baruch Hu to come to me. It took 10 days and the people are already restless and I said, forget it. Absolutely forget it. Not going to do it. The word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yirmiyahu. At the end of 10 days, what were the 10 days?
Remember
all that happened in one day?
No, it can't be.
Obviously. Obviously. We know that that would be the most hard. The Barbanel says it was Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
But it says the next day nobody knew about it. Then the following day...
So let's say it took 2 or 3 days, right? And then a couple days, so and then one day passed and they go to hand.
It gave the person from the killing.
Yeah, exactly. I know that starts up, but not 10 days altogether. Regardless, 10 days. He called out to all of the people that were there. You wanted me to daven for you, right? If you live in this land, I'll build you up below a rose. I will not destroy you. I will plant you. I will not get rid of you. I'm sorry?
The guy here.
I am not going to do anything bad to you. Just stay. Don't worry. Don't be afraid of the king of Avos Shartim Yerim, because you were afraid of him before. Don't be afraid of him. I am with you. To save you from his hands. I'll give you mercy. I will return you to your land and people will come back. And if you stay, we're not going to live in this land. You don't want to listen to the voice of God. We're going to the land of Mitzrayim. We're done with war. We're sick and tired of it, they said. Nicole's chauffeur and the voice, not sound of the chauffeurs. We're not going to hear it anymore. But we don't want to be starving for bread. We're going to sit there over there. Maybe you guys are just craving rest. Maybe you guys are just done with all this garbage. Maybe you just want to just live, you know, in like normal places. Therefore, listen to the word of God. If you set your faces on going to Egypt and you go on to live there, if you're going to do that, and he must have seen in their faces that they were going to do it. That sword that you're afraid of, some testig is coming, it's going to reach you there, but in the land of Mitzrayim. The hunger that you're worried about, it'll go to Mitzrayim, Shem to move to. You think you're going to be fine in Mitzrayim because they have tons of water, you're not going to worry about bread? You will worry about bread. You don't have to worry about bread here. You do have to worry about bread there. Yes, you're going to have to worry about it there. You call in Hashem Asher, some was Panayim, Lavo Mitzrayim, Lagor Shem. All the men that they put their face upon, they want to go to Egypt to go live there, they will die by the sword, Barov of Adabar, in hunger and in plague. There's going to be no survivors, no remnants from any of the things that I'm going to bring upon them. Just like I got angry at the people of Yerushalayim, I'm going to be so angry with you if you go to Mitzrayim. It's going to be terrible for you. All the worst things are going to happen. You're never going to see this place ever again. That's what's going to happen to you if you go. This is the word about you, remnant of Judah. Do not go to Egypt. I am warning you today. He's repeating it because they didn't get it. You deluded yourselves. When you said you wanted to send me to God, you're telling me to dive into Hashem. That you'll go ahead and do it. You're misleading yourself. You told me to do this. I did it for you. Now what? I'm telling you today, you're not listening to the word of God. For everything I sent to you, you will die by famine, by the sword, and by plague. In the place that you desire to go with us. Scary, isn't it? Scary. After they said they were going to listen, none of them listened. It's unbelievable. And sick and tired. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Such a theme that Yirmiyahu is being sent to tell them these things, and they're just not listening. All right, one.